How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Even if they come up to you beforehand and they tell you very stridently that they're a believer and they're a Christian, probably what they're doing is that they're trying to see if you can give them any new information.
I think there are some good tenets within some religions that point people in the right direction. But when you're talking about a faith that is unwilling to change or grow, that this is the right way and there is no other way, those people are at risk of continuing practices that are detrimental to other human beings.
That's Debbie Allen and Jim Eliason of the Coalition for Reason in San Diego, California. Their group is doing something that you wouldn't expect atheists to do. They are proselytizing. They are out there alongside the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the pro-life groups and all the other people in the town square or in the town's park. They're setting up a booth. They're talking to people. They're inviting you in for conversation, and they're proselytizing atheists. Now, I know why Christians proselytize. They have a gospel they want people to hear. They care that people would believe in Jesus Christ, right? Atheists don't have a gospel, so we can't call it evangelization, but they certainly proselytize, seeking converts. In fact, the Coalition of Reason there in San Diego claims that through its efforts on the weekends, it's been able to, they call it, deconvert some people. We're going to be talking about proselytizing atheists on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 26th. Our call-in number, as we talk with Craig Parton, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can also send us a tweet at @issuesetc. We'll have about a half hour's conversation with Craig Parton a little bit later. Listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, that'll come in the second hour of the program. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is a children's book. It has to do with Christian vocation. Now, that doesn't sound like the subject of a children's book, does it? I mean, I'll admit that. But actually, it's a great subject for a children's book. You got kids who may wonder, Dad has his job, Mom is Mom, maybe she has her job too. What's my job? What role has God given me to play? Believe it or not, from conception, children have their own kind of small V vocations, children's vocations. That's the subject of our Issues Etc. book of the month for February. How can I help God's calling for kids? Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and order How Can I Help God's Calling for Kids, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February. Craig Parton is a regular guest. He's an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. He's author of the books Religion on Trial and The Defense Never Rests. Craig, welcome back.
Todd, thank you. My pleasure.
I know why Christians proselytize. They've got an evangel. They'll do their evangelism. They've got a gospel that they want people to hear. They believe that it's a life and death issue. Why would an atheist who doesn't even believe in God, heaven, or hell, why would they proselytize?
Well, first, you know, everybody has something that's an ultimate concern to them, whether it's, professional football team or any other ultimate concern. You ultimately put that above every other value in your life. So I think we first need to see that everybody is evangelizing something, whether it's complete pessimism, nihilism, or any other philosophy of life. You're either living it actively, portraying it to your society, confessing it to other people, or proclaiming it to other people. And atheists believe that their position is correct. Not just that their position is correct, but the new atheism's position is that not only are they correct that there's no heaven, no hell, and life would be lived better in that understanding, but that Christianity is actually the affirmative cause of the evils in society. And that needs to be promoted and proclaimed, I guess would be the word, proclaimed by atheists. And, you know, I think finally they've looked back and seen that Christianity grew by evangelism and taking on a missions attitude. And I think atheists are looking at that and saying, you know what, we're going to no longer be a punching bag for people. We're going to go out and aggressively challenge Christians and ask them to give some reasons for why they believe what they believe. And we're certainly going to give reasons why atheism is true. So it shouldn't be surprising. And the culture at large does it all the time in different ways. People are proclaiming products that they sell all the time, evangelizing us on all kinds of things that are going to change our life ultimately for the good. So this is another example of it. Everybody is religious in some way, Todd. One way or the other, they believe they have answers to ultimate issues in culture, and atheists are no exception to that.
Should Christians welcome the fact that atheists, instead of kind of sitting around in their societies, so to speak, are actually out on the street challenging Christianity?
Oh, I think it's to be welcomed. You know, for so long you get into these discussions with people who are really not atheists. They're agnostic. They don't know whether there is a God or not. Who are at least supposedly open to evidence, but really it's kind of the lazy man's way of saying, you know, nobody can know any ultimate truth, so you can't know anything, I can't know anything. The atheist is saying there is no God, and the new atheists are saying Christian morality is harmful. It's actually harmed the status of women. It's done all kinds of moral evil to society, and we dare you to refute us. And Christians have come up to the bar and gone into debates with them on these topics, and I think it's been very, very helpful. You know, one of the things I noted on a particular article that discussed atheism that you guys had sent to me earlier, I had looked it over and I thought it was fascinating that an evangelical family thought that they would go to one of these atheist fairs that they had in San Diego. And the most that they could do to atheism was to stand around in a circle and sing a song about Jesus to the atheists, not engage in any intellectual debate with them or take on the evidence for against atheism or the evidence for Christianity, but essentially to retreat into their own world and try and do some suggestion that Jesus is the answer, but they have to come into the fold first to get any divine revelation. I thought, you know, that's probably the way a lot of Christians would deal with atheists. They're going to hell anyway. All you can do is pray for them and maybe sing a hymn to them.
So what's wrong with that approach? Because I heard it too. The family gathers there, they sing their hymn, and I'm sure they walked away saying, we bore strong witness this day to those atheists.
Yeah. Well, I think the first question is it apostolic? Is it biblical? Is that the way Scripture encourages us to take captive every foreign philosophy that rises up against the knowledge of God, Paul talks about? Paul took it captive. He went after it in Athens in Acts 17. He clearly brought the evidence to Festus and Agrippa in Acts 26 and Acts 28. The apostolic model is not to simply sit off in a corner and not integrate into the arguments of the society and bring Christian truth claims to bear on that culture, as opposed to what's gone on today, which is to segregate into basically a theological ghetto, which is your own Christian friends and your own little Christian church, and throw rocks at people from outside the ramparts that you've raised up against unbelievers. And that's the way we hear a lot of Christian preaching. It's the emphasis is on come out and be ye separate. Don't pollute yourself with foreign gods and foreign ideas. And I think we forgot the idea that, you know, also, how did the apostles turn the world upside down? They brought the saving message of the cross of Christ into the society they were in And that powerful force turned culture upside down. They didn't turn the world upside down by incorporating culture. They brought the message to culture, and then they dealt with the objections and handled them on their own and brought the evidence for God being in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, keeping their apologetic Christocentric, which is, sadly to say, something that, first of all, very few Christians do the defense of the faith anyway and do apologetics anyway, but then many of those that do end up proving theism instead of Christianity, instead of proving the case for Christ, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, that the forgiveness of sins won on Calvary's cross and justified for us by his resurrection is a case that can be stand up in any court of law, is kind of lost among a lot of Christians today, and they're not adequately equipped by their pastors or in their church to deal with unbelief, and so they retreat, and all you're left with then is actually kind of preaching at people rather than reasoning with them, as Paul does in the book of Acts.
Craig Parton is our guest. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want him to talk a little bit more about keeping our apologetic Christocentric, centered on Jesus Christ. Also, a question that I've been wondering about lately. Do Christians really understand atheism? Stay tuned. God is a concept.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa,
China,
Germany,
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world?
India,
Sweden,
Egypt,
France,
Turkey,
Japan,
Australia,
Canada,
United Kingdom,
Hong Kong, Austria,
Finland, Malaysia,
Singapore,
Bulgaria,
Korea,
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
the Philippines,
Mexico,
Spain,
New Zealand,
Kuwait.
Atheists are not necessarily strange or bad, but a lot of people of faith never meet someone that would be out about being an atheist.
It's Debbie Allen of the Coalition of Reason talking about how part of their purpose is to introduce people to atheism. We're talking about proselytizing atheists. She was speaking there in a story for National Public Radio. Craig Parton is our guest, United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. You can find out more about this excellent Apologetics Academy in Strasbourg, France, held every summer at our website, issuesetc.org. Craig, I'm curious about something. I want to get back to the keeping the apologetic Christocentric, but first, kind of a preliminary question. We usually take for granted that atheists don't fully understand what Christianity is all about. I think that's a kind of an atheist-by-atheist question, really. But do Christians fully understand what atheists are about?
Well, I'll take it one step further. Christians don't understand what Christianity is about. Mm. Therein lies the initial problem in the church, is that there's so few confessional Christians, that is, Christians that have a creedal understanding of Christianity and a confessional heritage that helps them with doctrinal issues. We're very, very fortunate in Lutheranism, and I don't mean to disparage other listeners from other traditions, but it just happens to be Lutheranism has a great, great gift in the doctrinal seriousness and confessional consistency and depth of its works to be able to catechize or instruct its people in what Christianity is about. And because there's mass confusion about what the faith is ultimately about, of course there's going to be even greater confusion when people try to go out and take that message to unbelievers. But in direct answer to your question, Todd, I think atheism is probably no different than a lot of other non-Christian positions as far as Christians are concerned. There's just general overall lack of knowledge about what non-Christian worldviews present and how to deal with them. I found, and something that pastors who might be listening might think about, a very interesting way to teach systematic theology to people is to teach what the cults and non-Christian religions, and this isn't specifically to atheism, but cults and non-Christian religions and New Age positions teach about such doctrines as the nature of man, sin, redemption, Jesus Christ, the end, those kinds of issues. And they'll find out how radically, radically different and inconsistent these positions are and how they can't all possibly be true. But ultimately, you know, I think one thing that we need to get back to emphasizing in the Christian church is when we're going out talking to people about the cross of Jesus Christ and they present a different position, we ought to take the time and the effort and show enough concern for them to have studied that position and to have read about it. And I think that's one thing we try to do at the International Academy is to equip people in all these non-Christian positions to the extent that there are major challenges to the faith today and equip people to understand what they teach by reading their own writings. Non-Christian writing should be part of any concerned, serious Christian's library, and it's no real mark of our spirituality that our libraries are full often of self-help and other kinds of literature.
Here's one of the kind of the, for lack of a better word, the stereotypes about atheists that I think a lot of Christians carry around, and it may hinder their apologetic initially. And that is, well, I know how people become atheists. Something bad happened in their life. They got mad at God, and they decided in retribution they would simply deny his existence. And I won't say, Craig, that there aren't atheists for whom it is simply that. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Okay, there are. But there are also those who became atheists by serious study. Philosophical
right.
study, religious study, you name it, they became atheists that way. Talk about trying to discern what makes a man an atheist when engaging in Christian apologetics.
Yeah, we ought not to, in dealing with people, become little Sigmund Freuds and put them on the psychoanalytic couch and tell them we really know why they're atheists or they've rejected Christianity because they have a fear of a father figure or they went through some trauma in their earlier life that's put them in this position. That's demeaning to people. It's not the way we ought to deal with the situation. We ought to take people's positions seriously. We ought to show them that we have enough respect for them, that we believe that they're holding to their position for legitimate reasons, that they believe that they're true, that they're the better explanation of the world and events than Christianity is, and not demean them by going into psychological explanations. Because I'll tell you, that'll come back and bite people right where it counts, because the same kinds of arguments can be used to explain why people come into the Christian faith and why they stay in the Christian faith, because they have a need of a father figure when the society, as the atheists would say, when there's no indication God is benevolent or in any way cares about this creation. Look at all the evil and suffering. They refuse to face the facts. They have a need for a father figure. They feel warm and cozy in their little communal settings, and that's why they believe something that's patently false. So we've got to be very, very careful with that. And I never go down the road of psychoanalyzing people as to why they're in their religious position. You learn their position, you study it, you know it better than they know it themselves, and then you gain respect from them when you show that you studied their position and yet you still see the problems with it, and not only just the problems with their position, but the affirmative, positive evidence that God was in the person of Jesus Christ, taking the sin of the world on himself at Calvary's cross, dying for the sins of the world, and rising for its justification, that all the evidence is on that side. So it's not just refuting doing what we call in apologetics negative apologetics, or refuting a person's worldview or position. I think some time needs to be spent on that, and it's an important endeavor. But we ought to be very facile with our own case. Just refuting the other side doesn't mean Christianity's true. You know, all religions in the world could be false. What we need to do is be able to establish the affirmative evidence that's a solid, rock-solid legal case based on the evidence for Jesus Christ, and be able to do both. Negative apologetics, that is, dismantling other worldviews effectively with the non-Christian, but also asserting and presenting the positive evidence so that they can consider that evidence. And God willing, in the power of the Holy Spirit, when the gospel is preached to them, they become Christian.
Do Christians sometimes play into that psychologizing game when asked, well, okay, by the atheist, okay, so why are you a Christian? They say, well, my life is so much better. it helps me sleep at night. Those kind of answers, those kind of very subjective answers.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And I think it's absolute, I hate to put it this strong, I mean, you don't hate to, but it do, it's poison. It's poison because it takes off the issue of whether Christianity is true or not. If it isn't true, I don't care if it works. Lots of stuff works. Stuff that will give you better feelings about yourself and your family and make you guys stay together and be close and lower your blood pressure or make you think that the world's going to work out okay. There's all kinds of philosophies out there. And Christianity primarily, fundamentally, I should say, does not present itself as a more likable position. It presents itself as the realistic position about the nature of man and what God had to do to deal with the fundamental problem of man, that he is self-centered, he is a sinner, and that he cannot in any way save himself and had to have a complete rescue by God himself, which is what Christianity's claim is.
But let's talk about that last thing in a little more detail, and that is, you mentioned before, and you've done it consistently in your answers here, keeping the apologetic Christocentric. Why is it vital that it be about not only just the person of Christ and his kind of personal integrity or veracity, but the his truth claims, his particular truth claims about himself and the central act verifying those things, his resurrection from the dead. Give us kind of a primer on that Christocentric apologetic.
I think there's two things. Why should we do it? Because it's biblical to do it that way. That's the way the apostles went to the cross of Christ and presented his death and resurrection as the central message. That's why they were all killed for what they confessed. It wasn't because they confessed Jesus as a moral example. The crucifixion and their own death for their confession makes no sense if all they were presenting was Jesus as another moral teacher. So number one, it's the way the apostles did it. Number two, Jesus himself says, he, as atoning lamb for the sins of the world, is the center of all Scripture. So if your apologetic ought to be lined up with what Scripture says is its center, and Scripture says, Luke 24 says this, John 5:39 says this, over and over, all over Scripture, that when Jesus is talking about himself, this man believed his death for the sins of the world and his resurrection was the central issue, and he was the center of all history. And so you want to get your apologetic lined up with the apostles and the center of Scripture. And when you do that, your apologetic will necessarily be Christocentric. And there's another good reason to be Christocentric. It's a practical reason. There's only so much time to do to talk to people, and you can talk to your blue in the face about what happened at the beginning of time or at the end of time, and you can get people completely on board with a cosmology that you think lines up exactly with what Scripture teaches about the origins of man and nature and society. And you can get people completely on board with whatever your position is about how the world's going to end and believe it's completely biblically consistent. And you can bring people to that position, and they die and go to hell. Because ultimately, the issue that we all have to face is the forgiveness of our sins. Are we going to pay ourselves for our own, what we know is rebellion, at least of our own internal moral law? And Scripture indicates it's a cosmic rebellion, and it's it can only be dealt with through the cross of Jesus Christ. So there's very practical reasons to do it. And so, and in second part, in answer to your question about how that's done, I think that's done most effectively through an apologetic that establishes the centrality of Jesus and his claims and centers on the death and resurrection of Christ. It's the classic historical apologetic that you can find in a lot of different works. My Religion on Trial certainly has it, but one of your guests, so oftentimes John Warwick Montgomery, has it in History, Law, and Christianity, that argument that starts with the reliability of the New Testament Gospels and builds from that case to the veracity of Jesus Christ and his verification of his claims to be God in the flesh by his resurrection from the dead. That's a Christocentric apologetic. I think its value is absolutely inestimable because it's gets your argument to what the apostles got theirs on, which is this man who he claimed to be, instead of spending interminable amounts of hours on making people into mere theists.
Craig, before we let you go, you're going to be speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 13th and the 14th here in Collinsville, Illinois. Tell us about the first thing you're going to be teaching on with about 30 seconds here, making the case for the historical Jesus.
Yeah, that's the first element, I think, is it is critical, is the information we have about Jesus, primarily about his life and death and resurrection, primarily comes from the four Gospels, certainly from the rest of the New Testament. But if the record we have of Jesus Christ can't be relied on, we're doomed. And that first presentation will be on how lawyers look at making the case for the reliability of the New Testament. And the second talk talks about the dangers inherent in Lutheran Reformation Christians trying to be Baptists in their worship approach. Just at the moment, a lot of people, Baptists and evangelicals included, are looking for more substance in their worship life. Many of them are looking to helpful liturgies and the hymns of the church to bring content to their services. Lutherans are throwing that stuff off the deck of the boat as fast as they can do it. And so there'll be some comments, some discussion about why that's a dangerous avenue for Lutherans to take and what evangelicals can learn from Lutheranism, what Lutheranism can learn from evangelicals. So I hope a bunch of evangelicals will come by for both talks. I'd love to. My background, of course, is in Campus Crusade before I became a Lutheran, and I've been in evangelicalism for many years before that. So I hope there's a good outpouring of listeners of yours from evangelical backgrounds who will come for the apologetics of both of those presentations.
Craig Parton will be the keynote speaker at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 13th and 14th here in Collinsville, Illinois. You can check it out at issuesetc.org. Look for the Making the Case logo. Craig Parton is an attorney in Santa Barbara, California. He's United States Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and he's author of the books Religion on Trial and The Defense Never Rests. Craig, thanks for being our guest.
Hey, thanks, Todd. We've got a couple seats left in Strasbourg, so I'll let people know they can go to the Academy website at apologeticsacademy.eu and join us this July.
We will. When we come back, listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned.
Bible isn't about you, it's about what Jesus has done for you.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I'm going to take 3 to 4 of the most popular misquoted evangelical proof texts and demonstrate from the texts themselves that if you read yourself into them, you not only miss the point, you miss the comfort of the cross. And so I'm going to tell you the better story that these texts actually tell you when you put them back into context.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.